It is time for Sarah's Wiki Corner today, brought to you by Sonny's Family Diner. Sonny's has an upstairs private dining room that holds up to 50 people. It's a perfect place to host your upcoming baby or bridal shower, your business meeting, or any kind of get-together, really. Call Sonny's Family Diner for more details, 730-4834. That's 730-4834 for Sonny's Family Diner. Sarah, what are we learning about today on your Wiki Corner?
So we're continuing our theme week on monsters Halloween.
Sure.
And today we're talking about mummies.
Mummies.
Yes. Okay. Did you ever see the late 90s film, The Mummy, with Brendan Fraser?
Not Brandon Fraser. Brendan Fraser. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Yes, I did see it.
Yes, that was a great movie. Good movie.
One of the best.
Yes.
One of the greatest.
One of my favorites. All right. So mummies of humans and animals have been found on every continent, both as a result of natural preservation through unusual conditions and as cultural artifacts.
Oh.
Over 1 million animal mummies have been found in Egypt, many of which are cats. Many of the Egyptian animal mummies are a species of ibis, which is a bird.
Thank you.
And radio, because I saw the look on your face and you're like, huh?
It's a bird.
And radiocarbon dating suggests the Egyptian ibis mummies that have been analyzed were from a time frame that falls between approximately 450 and 250 BC.
Who's mummifying a bird? Is it like a
I think it was
big
like
bird?
A like a yeah, and I think
like
it was
bird,
it must have been like a
hawk?
No, but it must have been like, you know, they revered cats as well, so it must have just been like a thing that they liked. I don't know.
Okay.
In addition to the mummies of ancient Egypt, deliberate mummification was a feature of several ancient cultures in areas of America and Asia with very dry climates.
Oh.
The spirit cave mummies of Fallon, Nevada, in North America, were accurately dated at more than 9,400 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Before this discovery, the oldest known deliberate mummy was found in Chile, which dates around 5050 BC.
You're saying the country, not the suburban town.
Correct. Chile. Not Chile.
Chile.
In the Middle Ages, it was thought that mummies possessed healing properties.
Oh.
So as a result, it became common practice to grind up Egyptian mummies into a powder to be sold and used as medicine.
Wow.
That is disgusting.
You grind up a mummy.
The interest in mummies as medicine was based on the supposed medicinal properties of something called bitumen.
Excuse me.
Bitumen. Bitumen.
Oh.
Which is a type of asphalt from the Dead Sea. And it was thought that mummies were embalmed with that.
Oh, yeah.
But that was actually not
Oh, not
the
true.
Case.
So
no,
they were grinding up mummies for no reason.
Right. But the practice developed into a wide-scale business that flourished up until the late 16th century.
Seems too long.
Yeah. Until around two centuries ago, mummies were still believed to have medicinal properties to stop bleeding.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So perhaps the best-known mummy in modern history is
King Tut.
Yes, King Tut. His tomb and mummified body were discovered in 1922 by a British archaeologist named Howard Carter.
Oh.
Now, according to folklore, disturbing a mummy's tomb will lead to death.
Yeah, I've seen that in many cartoon and film.
And right. The superstition didn't rattle Carter, however, nor stop him from exhuming King Tut's tomb. Still, when several people involved in his expedition died early of unnatural causes, the story was sensationalized by the media, even though the so-called curse did spare Carter's life.
Oh, okay.
But people involved in it, some people
died
of weird circumstances.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So the discoveries in the tomb were prominent news in the 1920s and brought mummies into the mainstream.
Finally.
Mummies became more than
just one acceptance.
Right. Mummies became more than religious symbols of the ancient world in the early 20th century with the debut of Bram Stoker's novel, The Jewel of the Seven Stars, which featured them as supernatural villains.
Okay.
The first living mummies in fiction were mostly female, and they were presented in a romantic light, often as love interests for the protagonist.
What
I don't
in the world
see that
are you talking
all.
About?
I don't know. I don't get it either, but that's what it was back then.
One film. What film? Examples.
I don't know. I don't know.
We don't know.
There were examples. If you want to dive into the Wikipedia article on it,
there were examples.
Yep.
Of a romantic with a mummy.
Yep. It was Boris Karloff's portrayal of a mummy in the 1932 movie The Mummy.
2 days in a row you mentioned
that. That made them mainstream monsters. Yeah, he really really was typecast there as monsters.
This
I
is
think.
His week to shine
yes,
on the Wiki
for
corner.
Sure. So makeup artist Jack Pierce, who I also mentioned because he did Frankenstein's makeup as well, began transforming Karloff at 11 a.m., applying cotton and spirit gum, whatever that is, to his face, clay to his hair, and wrapping him in linen bandages treated with acid and burnt in an oven, finishing the job at 7 p.m. So from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. it took to get into costume for this. And he finished his scenes at 2 a.m. and another 2 hours were spent removing the makeup.
At that point, you were just animate it. Can we just animate it? Can we CGI this
thing? Yeah, right?
Come on.
Karloff found the removal of the makeup from his face painful and overall found the day the most trying ordeal he had ever endured, he said.
Did he win an award for that? An Academy Award? Maybe?
I don't think so. Although the images of Karloff wrapped in the bandages are the most iconic taken from the film, he only appears in this makeup for the opening vignette.
That's it?
Yeah, so not even for that long. And the rest of the film sees him wearing less elaborate makeup.
Oh,
so it was
good.
Just for the opening.
Yeah.
Had to go through all of that.
You're going to start big.
But thanks to the success of the movie and its various sequels, mummies have joined the pantheon of 19th century gothic monsters alongside Count Dracula and Frankenstein's monster.
Good, good, good. They have achieved equality. You picked out a record to go along with the mummies, did you?
Yeah, so I thought we'd play King Tut by Steve Martin.
We'll do it. Sarah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
King Tut, Steve Martin. Sarah Dearmine is why did we just play that song on Legends 102.7?
Well, because we were talking about mummies
as
part of our theme week on monsters.
Let's recap three things we must take away from today's Wiki Corner. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready, go.
Okay, over 1 million animal mummies have been found in Egypt.
Mummies were once thought to have healing properties.
And the opening of King Tut's tomb is what brought mummies into the mainstream.
There you go. And for the record, it wasn't Geraldo that opened up that tomb.
No, no.
That was a different guy.
Different guy.
Different guy completely.
And there's actually something in it when they opened it.
Yes, right. So. King Tut.
King Tut.
King Tut, right.
And other things.
Any cats and birds in there?
I'm sure there were.
Wow.
I think there are lots of things.
What a find. Mm-hmm. What a find. Folks want to learn more about mummies. Sarah, where do they go? What do they do?
You can go to my wiki blog. If you go to legends1027.com, on the homepage, there's a link that takes you to my blog where I post everything I talk about every day.
You do. You do. I didn't know if you were going to run out of words there.
No,
for
I didn't
a second.
Really. I don't know if I said it wrong or not.
No, you got it right.
I did it right?
It.
Okay.
You,
you got it.
Speaking of getting it right, we talked earlier about black licorice and the dangers of black licorice and consuming too much of it.
Yes.
It might kill you. Literally. You said that you like licorice all sorts.
I do. My grandmother used to always have licorice all sorts around.
Is that right?
And so, yeah.
Well.
I'm a big fan.
Well, well, well. Hopefully she didn't consume too much.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So.
That's good. Just
she
remember.
Always would do, she would always, before she committed to the purchase, she would take a sample from the from the bin in the.
Really?
At Wegmans in
would,
the.
Yeah. Would she let you have one also?
Yeah, we'd have to test and see how and make sure they were fresh.
Well, it's true.
You don't want stale licorice all sorts.
Nothing
that's
worse.
Gross.
Nothing worse. Nothing worse. That's wonderful. Yeah, I always thought licorice all sorts because my grandmother always had them too. And I always thought they would look so pretty and I would want to eat them. And then I would. And every time I would then immediately remember why I didn't want to eat them because just. Yeah, but they were so
pretty.
Do you
like plain black licorice?
No, I don't like any black licorice. I like red Twizzlers.
Mm-hmm.
No black licorice.
Okay.
I'm good, thanks. All right.
Well,
you're going to come back tomorrow, though, still, right?
Yes.
Maybe I'll bring you some licorice all
sorts. You're going to bring me some all sorts?
I'll put them in a little bowl
please
over
don't.
There.
Please don't. I'll eat them all. Huh?
Yeah, well.
No, I don't want to eat them all.
Well, I don't want you to share either. So as we wrap up our theme week on monsters, we'll see you tomorrow at 4:10.
Absolutely.
Super traffic, weather. It's all on the way on Legends 102.7.